God rests ye gentlemen, merry gentlemen. Okay, this isn't time to rest and take a nap. All right, I just thought of that when I read the title of that song. Ephesians, if you would please, the fifth chapter. That was good. Ephesians chapter 5. Now we're going to go back. We've been teaching and preaching through the book of Ephesians. And the first several chapters were the doctrinal section. And now we're here in chapter 5, well, actually beginning in chapter 4, we're talking about in the practical section of how it applies to our life. So when you find Ephesians, the fifth chapter, I want you to stand with me. I want to read just a few verses. Beginning in verse 18. It said, "And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess." And here is the key that we're going to be talking about for the next 2 weeks. "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And then after that, he goes into a family section. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you, Father, that we can be here to remember our Savior at this Christmas season, and certainly we thank you for sending him into the world. We also thank you, Lord, that we can be taught and instructed from your Word. And for those here that perhaps are saved but really have never grasped the idea of being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in unity, walking in harmony, walking in love, that you would really prick their heart today with this whole matter of being filled with the Spirit. For those that perhaps are here and don't know Jesus as Savior, we pray for their salvation. For those that listen to it on the internet, we pray likewise, Lord, that they would get a hold of this concept of being filled with the Spirit. And for those that don't know Jesus, that you would bring them to this saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. We praise you. Quiet our hearts. May we be still and know that thou art God as we study the Word of God together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Usually a day like today, we preach a New Year's message. And quite honestly, I can't think of a subject more thrilling to think about going into the next, this coming year, 2021, than being filled with the Spirit of God. I think that is probably most people's that are Christians, their biggest problem. I'll probably say that several times this morning. They are not filled with the Spirit of God. I spent a Sunday speaking about drunkenness and alcohol and drugs and addiction a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening the last time before Christmas, and we started preaching four messages on "The Light Has Come." But we spent that, so we'll skip through that. But this passage is more than just a lecture on drunkenness. Paul makes a comparison. He said, don't be controlled by those things like wine and alcohol and drunkenness and all these addictions that control some people. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. This is supposed to be the experience of every believer, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, here's my opinion. I'm going to say it a second time. The biggest problem in Christianity and the solution to a lot of our problems is to be filled with the Spirit, but the problem is most Christians aren't. I think that's the problem. There's way too few Spirit-filled Christians. And the more I study on this, the more I think of every relationship problem is also a lack of a filling of the Spirit of God and a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And the problem is we aren't controlled by the Holy Spirit like the drunk is controlled by his alcohol. That's the problem. Now, we've seen many exhortations in the book of Ephesians as we've gone through it. And without the Spirit, we try to navigate these things on our own. But we're not supposed to navigate these things on our own. We're supposed to be filled and directed by the Spirit of God. He said earlier in this book, we're to walk humbly. But we can't walk humbly apart from the energizing of the Spirit. He said, walk in unity. But you can't walk in unity without the energizing of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, be separate from the world. And he taught the separation of the world. But you can't be separate from the world if you're not filled with the Spirit like you're supposed to be. He said, walk in light. He said, walk in love. He said, walk in wisdom. You can't do any of those things apart from the energizing and controlling of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And I can't do it without the Holy Spirit of God controlling me. This is what we need. And so to walk without the Spirit is to walk unwisely, and it's to walk foolishly. Back up a few verses to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Remember that? That was to be very carefully. You walk carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise of the understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are to be, he said in chapter 5 and verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God. We are to be followers of God as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when we come down to the second half of verse 18, down through the end of verse 21, it's the other side of that contrast of being drunk. The godly walk is God's children that expresses itself not in drunkenness, but in a Spirit-controlled life and worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness, really. And He starts with this command. He says, be filled. That's the command. The Holy Spirit, if you recall, and you can turn back to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to put this ribbon over here so I can flip back to Ephesians. But let me turn to Acts 2. You can follow along because we're going to read several verses in Acts and also in John's Gospel in just a moment. The Holy Spirit descended upon all believers at Pentecost in a new way. It came in a very powerful way. Without Pentecost, remember when Acts chapter 2 happened, the Apostle Paul wasn't even a believer yet. But without Pentecost, Paul would never have had any reasons to persecute the church. It would have been too weak. It would have been too powerless. He wouldn't have had to do that. It would have been too weak to threaten Satan's dominion. But it was here in Acts chapter 2, and look at verses 2 through 4. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Who is to them? The apostles. It is not on everybody. It is on the apostles. Are there apostles today? Thank you. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that actually happened. And here the crowd, this is where the crowd, and we might as well look at this, verse 13, it had to do with the drinking. They said, these men are full of new wine. These guys are getting drunk. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're saying. And while they were fulfilling the Old Testament, now, let me say this. There were fillings in, you understand they were Holy Spirit fillings in the Old Testament? Moses was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read Exodus 31 and verse 3 and Exodus 35 and verse 31, you find that he was filled with the Spirit. They had been filled with the Spirit, but it was at Pentecost that all believers in the church were first filled with the Spirit of God, and they were also indwelt by the Spirit of God. That was a whole new thing. Look at John chapter 14. Verse 16. He said, I will pray the Father, Jesus is talking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now that's a big change, because in the Old Testament the Spirit came upon people, but he didn't abide with them forever. And then he said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and it says, and shall be in you. Another, this is a huge dispensational change. The Spirit permanently indwells all believers rather than only being with some, like Moses, I mentioned two references. It's one of the great dispensational truths of the New Testament. If you're a child of God here today, I want you to understand you are indwelt with the Spirit of God. If you're not a child of God, you're not. But if you're a child of God, you have been indwelt with the Spirit. Now, he does just come alongside of us in the New Testament, although he certainly does come alongside of us. He indwells us. All of us that are saved, he indwells. He came upon Moses, and maybe we'll reference a few a little bit later on, others, but he did not come upon everybody in the Old Testament. But now he does. Every one of us here that is a child of God can be filled with the Spirit. Now listen, he is our divine pledge in our security that Jesus' promises are fulfilled. He guarantees and gives us assurance that we will have a heavenly mansion in our Father's house. Here in John 14, look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, praise the Lord, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That we will do greater works than he did, he also said. And in longevity. Look at verse 12 of the same chapter. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's quite a verse. That will have peace. Look at verse 27. Same chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You don't have to, you should never worry. And then he says, neither let it be afraid. And beyond that, he gives the fullness of joy that will be in us. Chapter 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, these are something. He assures us that the Father and the Son are one. Back in chapter 14 and verse 20. He said, in that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The Spirit of God lets us know that. That we are indeed God's children. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. And that he will intercede for us, making our prayers effective. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. And that he will bear fruit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23. Isn't all that stuff great? This stuff's amazing. But the work of the Holy Spirit in us and on our behalf cannot be appropriated only as we are filled with the Spirit of God. You said, Pastor, you said we're all indwelt. I know you're all indwelt, but that doesn't mean you're all filled. That's not the same. Every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit and has the potential of receiving the fulfillment of all of Christ's promises to those who belong to him, all of us. But no Christian will have those promises fulfilled who is not under the full control of the Holy Spirit of God. But we have the command to be filled. That's the command. We are to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And if not, we will never know the bliss of the assurance of heaven, the joy of the effective work for the Lord, of having our prayers answered, or of enjoying the fullness of God's own love and joy and peace that he gives us. That's the command. Be filled. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean first. It doesn't mean that you have some kind of a dramatic experience of suddenly being energized and spiritualized into a permanent state of advanced spirituality, or by some kind of a second blessing subsequent to salvation, or some kind of a zap, I don't know how to say that, some kind of a zap to speak in tongues or have an unearthly vision. Pentecost was a one-time event. A little bit happened in Acts 10 with the Gentiles, but after that, we're New Testament believers now. But that happened once, Pentecost. Secondly, nor is it the other extreme, which is this where the Baptists fall into. You know, we simply stoically try to do what God wants us to do. Maybe the Holy Spirit will bless me, maybe he won't, you know. And basically, in our own power, it's an act of the flesh, and that does not get God's approval. You can sing, you can teach, you can witness, and you can do all of those things in the flesh and not be filled with the Spirit of God. Do it all in the flesh. Our pastor used to say, Dr. Cummins, he's gone home to be with the Lord several years ago, but he used to say, my human best, and you ought to give your human best, right? Filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what we ought to do. Our human best filled with the Spirit of God. Thirdly, it's not the same as indwelling of the Spirit, I mentioned that, which happens to all believers at the moment of salvation. Now, before Pentecost, the Spirit came upon believers temporarily. I referenced Moses. But if you go to the book of Judges, you'll find the same thing in Judges 13, Judges 16. It came upon David in 1 Samuel 16, and then in Psalm 51, David mentioned that again. But today, all believers are indwelt. But the filling isn't the same. Fourthly, it's not a process of degrees where you get a little here and a little bit there. It's not like the new vaccines that are coming out with a two-part vaccine, okay? You're indwelt one time. Fifthly, it is not the baptism of the Spirit, where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we're by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. All of those things that I mentioned here, they all happened at salvation. Now get this, or try to get this, because every time I read it through, I'm not sure I wrote it right. Paul did not accuse the Corinthian church of being immature and sinful, although he did accuse them of that, because they didn't have the Spirit. They did have the Spirit. And tell them to seek the Spirit to fix all their problems. They already had the Spirit. So he didn't say, go seek the Spirit. What he did do is he reminded them that each one of them already possessed the Spirit of God. So I want to remind you all again this morning, and you've heard this before, most of you, you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God in you. Now, look at, I think 1 Corinthians 6. I'm slowly making my way back toward Ephesians. I just noticed that. Verses 18 and 19. Paul said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which, look at, is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. The Holy Spirit is in you. They were not shining because the Holy Spirit's absence, but in spite of the Holy Spirit's presence, they weren't. Now, when a believer shines, he is still indwelt by the Spirit. And let me just say this. When you finally get a hold of the idea, the truth, I guess is a better word, that the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, that can change your life. He's with you everywhere you go. When you go to work tomorrow, Spirit of God will be there. I guess there is no school. But whenever you go back to school, the Spirit of God will be with you. I guess some of you guys aren't going back to the end of January now. If you go to the grocery store or the pharmacy or wherever you go, you take the Holy Spirit of God with you there. Do you ever think about this? I don't ever go to any, okay? But if I go into a club somewhere, did you know I take the Holy Spirit of God in there with me? I wouldn't want to take God in there. I wouldn't want to do that. If you turn your computer on and you look at pornography, do you know the Holy Spirit of God is looking at that pornography with you? If you start watching movies that are totally inappropriate and nobody ought to watch, do you realize the Holy Spirit of God is there with you while you watch those movies? If he was sitting there visibly, let's say Jesus was standing or sitting right next to you, you'd never struggle with any of that stuff. You'd never blow up. Well, I don't know if you would or not. Peter seemed to have issues with that, didn't he? So maybe we won't go that far. But there's a lot of things in your life that you know are flat out wrong and wicked as the devil, and you just wouldn't do them. But you can't see him, but I'm telling you, he's there. And if you'd get a hold of that truth, it can be a life-transforming truth. Because think about this. The Holy Spirit of God is with me. That makes my sin worse. Now, when a believer sins, he's still indwelt by the Spirit. But it makes it worse. Sixthly, it's not being sealed or secured by him. That's a done deal. That's all done. We aren't commanded to be sealed. We're not even commanded to be indwelt. Those have already happened. We are commanded, beloved, to be filled. To be filled is literally be being kept filled. That's the literal. No Christian can fulfill God's will for his life apart from being filled with the Spirit of God. You can try. You can all try, but you'll fail. Because we can't do God's will apart from God's Spirit. Now, outside the command for unbelievers to trust in Christ for salvation, there is no more practical and necessary command in the Scriptures than for all of us as believers to be filled with the Spirit. We've been studying being filled with the Spirit for quite some time in Sunday school. But I'll give you one illustration of that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. I can practice love, the fruit of the Spirit, love, and if I'm filled with the Spirit, I will. Or I can practice self-love, which is, if I'm not filled with the Spirit, that is what I will do. I can leave here today and be fretful and worry all day long and all of this stuff, but I can be fixed with the fruit of the Spirit, faith. Just learn to trust God, bless God. You don't have to have any of those things in your life. They can all be fixed by being filled with the Spirit. It's God's will for you to live in harmony with the teachings of the Bible. Submission to the will of God is an absolute must. It's a submission to the Lordship of Jesus and to the guiding of the Spirit of God. Those are all essential things. They are not optional things. And if you are a true believer, that ought to be the natural desire of your heart. And if that is not the natural desire of your heart, I find it very difficult to believe that you are a true believer. It doesn't even make sense to me that you could say you're a true believer and not desire to follow God. You say, Pastor, that's awful judgmental. Yeah, kind of is. But doesn't it make sense? Why in the world would you not? To stand against the Spirit's leading and filling is to stand rebelliously against the teaching of the command of Scripture. So while all Christians are indwelt and sealed by the Spirit, unless we are filled, we live in spiritual weakness, we live in spiritual frustration, we live in spiritual defeat. So it's critical that we become filled with the Spirit. Now, continuous aspect of being filled, listen, it involves a day-by-day, moment-by-moment submission to the Spirit's control. I don't do that perfectly all the time, just so you know. Okay? None of us do it perfectly all the time. But when I'm completely full with the Spirit of God, it allows God to do it in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? The filling is entirely the work of the Spirit himself. But he works only through willing submissionness on my part. That's why it said in Ephesians 21, submitting yourselves one to another. Now, some people jump that ahead and put it into the context of the family. That verse does not go into the context of the family. That verse goes into the context of the believers. Later on, he talks about that in the next section. I am to submit myself to the Lord. You are to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God as well. Now, we can't rely on past fillings, nor can we live in an expectation of being filled. It's a moment by moment, day by day. I think it was D.L. Moody who said, the world has not seen what a man filled with the Spirit of God can accomplish. And he accomplished not a lot of good things for the Lord, I can tell you that. But that's what he said. So the word used for filling has more than fillings. It's not like you take this glass of water and fill it up. Okay, that's what we think of, and that's fine. But it has three more additional meanings that I want to make application with. Number one, it's used of the wind filling a sail that carries the ship along. Same word, it's the same meaning. To be filled with the Spirit is to be moved along in your Christian life by God Himself, just like the wind fills a sail and moves that boat. Secondly, it has the idea of, it's permanent. You know when something penetrates something? Well, I was trying to think of the right way to say that word, but you know what I mean when I say penetrate? Because I'm thinking of something like permeates, but I'm not sure that's the right word. But it's used of salts, how you it goes into the meat. So the other day I was watching my wife prepare a roast, and she took a knife and she put little slices in it, and then she was stuffing garlic in it. I love garlic. There's no such thing as too much garlic, okay? If I'm around you, you might think there was such a thing as too much garlic, but I like garlic. But I was watching her do that. And that has the same, some of you ladies probably do the same thing. That has the same idea of the Holy Spirit of God filling us in order to flavor and preserve it. We do it with salt on meat. But God wants His Spirit to so permeate the lives of His children that everything they think, say, and do will be affected by Him. Everything. Thirdly, it has the idea of total control. Total control. People who are filled with sorrow, who are filled with fear, who are filled with anger, are not under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. They're either under their own control or under the control of the enemy, one or the other, but not the Spirit of God. To be filled in this sense is to be totally dominated and totally controlled, and it is the most important thing once you're saved for you and I to get to be filled with the Spirit of God. Even Jesus, while He was on the earth, was controlled by the Spirit. There's one instance in His life that is recorded in three of the Gospels. Matthew said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's in Matthew 4. Luke recorded it this way, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then Mark said it, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. It's just three accounts of three recordings of one account, but a Spirit-filled Christian is like a glove. You say, what's that? Until it is filled by the hand, a glove is powerless. A glove is useless. It's designed to do work, but it can only do work if it is filled with your hand. Go home and look at a glove. Give it all the commands you want to give it. It's not going to do anything. It has to be filled. It works only as the hand controls it and uses it. The glove's only work is the hand's work. And my work is supposed to be the work of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't brag. The glove has got nothing to brag about. The glove's got nothing to gloat because it knows the hand does the work. It never tries to do anything without the hand. In fact, it can't do anything out without the hand. And that's how we ought to look about the Spirit of God in our lives. I really can't do anything without Him. A Christian can't accomplish anything without being filled with the Spirit, worthwhile anyway. The glove takes no credit. It's helpless without the hand. And truthfully, so are we helpless without the Spirit of God in our lives. When the first church at Jerusalem, go back to the book of Acts, if you would, please. Chapter 6. When they wanted men to free up the apostles for other ministries so the apostles could give themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer, here's what they looked for. Look at chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, and the saying, please the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen. Now here's the kind of guy they chose. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Philip and these other guys that are mentioned there as well. And you can have fun with those names. Being filled with the Spirit detaches us from our own desires, our own standards, our own objectives, our own fears, and the world system, and gives us a vision of God that comes in no other way but by being filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit makes everything else of secondary importance. Now, Peter was filled at Pentecost. We know that. He was the head preacher at Pentecost. But turn to the book of, back a page, I guess, chapter 4, in verse 8. So here it says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. But he was filled. Then jump ahead to chapter 9 in verse 17 of the Apostle Paul. So he wasn't a believer back in chapter 2 at Pentecost, but by the time we get to chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, that will become Paul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now without the yielding that allows the filling of the Spirit, Paul would have been no more use to the Lord than anybody else. He had to be filled with the Spirit. When the church needed a man to help in the ministry, jump ahead to chapter 11. This is a good man right here. Verse 22. It says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that she should go as far as Antioch. Who? That is Barnabas. When he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's Barnabas. And then you look at chapter 13 and verse 9. And it says, then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him. He was filled there. Then in chapter 13 and verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Okay, this is a trivia question, but it's a pretty easy one. What comes first, submission or filling? Submission. You've got to submit to God before the Holy Spirit of God's going to fill you. That was a question like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, the chicken came first. God made the chicken. He didn't make the egg. But anyway, he made the chicken to have the egg. But that's what comes first. Submission. And after the submission comes filling. You submit to God, and the Spirit of God will fill you up. Now, God forces nobody. Let's look ahead one more place here in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. Here's what happened with these Spirit-filled believers. They didn't say it about themselves either. And when they found them not, and they drew Jason a certain brethren unto the rulers of the cities, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. He said, these Spirit-filled people, they're turning the world upside down. Are we turning our world upside down? Our world is dark. And I mean dark, dark. And we are to be part of that group of people that tries to turn this world upside down for the glory of God. Now, let me give you this lastly. What is the means of being filled? And I'll say more next week. God commands nothing for us, of us, which he does not provide a means for you and I to obey. So if God commands something, we can obey it. To be filled involves confession of sin. There can be no known habitual sin in the life of a Christian and be filled with the Spirit of God at the same time. It includes a surrender of my will to his will. Like I give up my rights, I give up my will, and I surrender them to his. It includes intellect. It includes the yielding of my body, we read already in 1 Corinthians 6. It includes my time. I surrender my talents, my possessions. I surrender my desires. It requires the death of selfishness and the slaying of the self-will. And when we die to self, the Lord fills us with his Spirit. John said in John 3, verse 30, and it's the same principle, he must increase and I must decrease. The result that follows when you start reading in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 19, here's what a Spirit-filled person does. I got it for all of my family members here, I need to say this. It says speaking to yourselves. Okay, we have a camera on the front of our house. My wife was had him on the other day. Anyway, I come walking up the stairs of the house, walking in, and I'm talking out loud just like I'm talking right now. And the stupid camera records it all. And I was talking about gunpowder that I had for 2 years that it must have went bad or something. But anyway, you say, why were you talking about that? Well, muzzleloader season just ended, and I'm thinking about having to replace my powder. But Scott, I talk to myself all the time. So I found that phrase. Pastor, you took that out of context. I totally know I took it out of context, okay? But that's what it says. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And he goes on, giving, all these are results, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And you can read to the end of the chapter. Because beginning in verse 22 to the end of the chapter, well, actually to chapter 6 and verse 4, that's what a spirit-filled family looks like. Right there. It's all right, and it's all in the same context. Now, in Colossians 3, don't turn there, but it says almost the same thing. Verses 16 through 25. In both cases, we see singing and giving of thanks and submissive to whatever it is that God has for us as we submit ourselves to him. We see people being filled with the Spirit and letting the Word of God dwell in us richly. So now what's that? Now what I got to do? I said intellect. Well, now you got to know your Bible. You got to spend time in the Word of God, and you got to know what God wants you to do. Being filled is taking the Word of God and letting it infuse us or indwell us, if I guess I can use that word, and saturate us in every way of part of our thinking, in every part of our being. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with His Word, and you will not be filled with the Spirit apart from the Word of God. As we are filled with His Word, it controls our thinking, it controls our actions, it controls our life. It is to fill our minds so that His thoughts become my thoughts. My standards, His standards become my standards. His work becomes my work. His words become my words. The way He thinks even becomes the way I think. And as we yield to the truth of Christ, the Holy Spirit will lead us to say and to do and to be everything that God wants us to say and do and be and think. We need to have a Christ consciousness all the time. Paul used the word walking a lot in Ephesians. Walking involves one step at a time. Being filled is walking one thought at a time. One thought, next thought, one decision, the next decision, one act, the next act, all under the Spirit's control. Let's close in Galatians chapter 5. Back at just a couple of pages, in verse 16, actually. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, when you surrender to the Holy Spirit, we find Him doing some amazing things in us, but it's not us that's doing it. It's Him that's doing it through us. These blessings are called, continue a little further down in chapter 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The person who is Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, and who bears the Spirit's fruit is the person who belongs to Christ and has crucified the flesh. Let me read a little further, verse 24. Which things are... I'm in Galatians. That's right, chapter 5, verse 24. I'm on the wrong page. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. And to walk in the Spirit is to fulfill the ultimate potential that everything God wants to do with His children on this earth. Now, what a way to start 2021. To begin to be filled with the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. To let the Spirit of God control you. Every word, every thought, every decision. You're just going to submit everything to God and let God take you and guide you and lead you and direct you in everything. That's how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Complete submission. Complete yield. The word in Romans was yielded. I wrote some things down. I wish I could read what I wrote down. It had to be good. Anyway, there has to be a surrender. There has to be a submission, a total. Now, if you've not done that, I want to encourage you to do that here this morning. You need to start saturating your mind with the Word of God. If you don't read your Bible ever or ever study your Bible, you need to get busy. You need to spend time in the Word of God. Consistently and faithfully on a daily basis. You need to ask the Spirit of God to fill you. You need to let Him know that you're going to surrender your will. You're going to surrender your desires. You're going to surrender whatever it is that you need to surrender that you're holding on to and haven't yet. And you need to give that to God. And when you ask Him to fill you and you've done all these other things, you need to believe that He's going to fill you. And you live your life like it. And He will fill you, and He will guide you, and He will lead you, and He will direct you. I think it's, after salvation, it very well may be the single most important thing we do. Because when you talk about being filled with the Spirit, it includes the Word of God. It includes a submissive spirit. It includes doing everything that God wants you to do. It includes it all. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and let me ask you a couple of questions. Now, I said you're filled with the Spirit. It's only for believers. It's only for those who know Jesus as their Savior. If you really don't know Jesus as your Savior, and when I say that, you might not even know what I'm talking about. If you listen on the internet, you can simply email the church and we'll get back with you. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's step one. You cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. You can't even be indwelt with the Spirit of God if you're not saved. You aren't indwelt. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, to come and let someone open a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're here and you examine your heart and you find yourself not yielded, not submissive, not in God's Word, this is it for you. This is your a weekly diet for the Word of God is preaching you here at church. It's not enough. Listen, I'm going to go home and eat lunch every Sunday afternoon. But trust me, I'm going to do this many times throughout the week. Got to have more of the Word of God. You surrender and you submit yourself to the Lord this morning. Father, You have spoken to us through Your Word. Now it is our opportunity to speak to You through our prayers. And I pray that people will be submissive, surrendered. They would desire to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in love, to walk in unity, to walk in wisdom. And they would allow the Spirit of God to take absolute control over their life, just like Paul said the drunk would over the alcohol. May You challenge each and every one of us as we go into this next year to be filled consistently with the Spirit of God. And I will certainly thank You, and I don't exclude myself, Lord. I need a filling of Your Spirit every day, every hour of every day, actually. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one's looking around, faith is playing. Would you submit and surrender yourself to the Spirit of God? Let's go into 2021, man, serving God, filled with the Spirit, submissive to the Word of God. And let's live for the Lord, and let's try to reach souls for Jesus. Paul said to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. Stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. If you need prayer this morning, come on up. I'll be here for a few minutes, and I'd love to pray with you. Father, we thank you for this command, and my, how we need it. And I pray that people would long for it, desire it. I can't imagine why they wouldn't. But sometimes there are things in our lives that we just don't want to let go of. But if we want to be filled with the Spirit, we got to surrender them and we got to submit them. And I pray we will. Lord, just encourage us. We can live this magnificent, really Spirit-blessed life. It doesn't say we'll be without problems or heartaches, but we can have peace and joy that passes all understanding if we just submit and surrender. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.